right. Morning, Life Point Church. Good to see y'all this morning. Y'all looking great. Looking good. Question. How many of you here were here last week? Man, that's a lot of y'all that came back after I revealed my secret of being a rapper in high school. That's impressive. Thank you all for giving me a second chance. Look at that. No, I'm just kidding. Well, my name is Andy Driscoll, the lead pastor here at Life Point Church. Man, I'm so excited that you chose Life Point to be your place of worship this morning. So thank you all for being here. Thank you for just serving and worshiping and celebrating our good God in this space with these great people. So thank you all for being here. And today we're just going to jump right in. We're going to kick off week two of our current message series called The Following Days. And what we're doing in this series, we're going to spend 3 weeks total, so we got one more week after this. But this week, we're going to continue to look at the same passage of scripture that we looked at last week, right? In this series, we're looking at two different encounters that Jesus had with his disciples following his resurrection. In the following days. And last week we kicked things off by looking at Jesus' interaction with Peter on a beach, right? Like the disciples had spent all night long fishing, didn't catch anything. It was a terrible night. Like I said last week, if you've ever done any night fishing, you know it's just rough in general. And then to not catch anything is 10 times worse. So they had a bad night of fishing, but then Jesus showed up that next morning, kind of told them, hey, cast your nets on the other side. They did that. They slayed them. I mean, they just hauled them in like crazy. And then they went to the beach and had breakfast. And in that interaction, we saw how Jesus fully restored Peter. Right? He fully restored him. If you remember in Luke 22, before Jesus was arrested and killed, Jesus told Peter, hey, you know what? You're my guy. I love you. But your faith is gonna waver. You're gonna fall here. But don't worry, because your faith will not be destroyed. And Peter's like, no way, Jesus. You know, if you read the New Testament, you'll see Peter's, you know, he's a little high on himself at times, especially early on. And Jesus really takes some time and humbles him. But he's like, you know, no, Jesus, there's no way my faith is gonna waver. I'm with you. I'm gonna be with you till the end. I will even die with you if necessary. And Jesus is like, all right, hold up. Let me break this down a little more. Before the rooster crows tomorrow, you're going to deny me. And not only are you going to deny me, but you're going to deny me three different times. And sure enough, the next day after Jesus was arrested and led to the high priest's house, we see that Peter followed kind of at a distance, right? And then they got to the courtyard, and some of the guards had made a fire, and Peter was kind of hanging out there in the courtyard with the fire. And three different people at three different times came up to him and was like, Peter, like, you're one of them, right? Like, you've got to be one of them. You're one of Jesus' followers. And each time he was like, no, you got the wrong guy. I don't know him at all. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know him, let alone be one of his disciples. Like, I don't know the guy. And after the third time, the rooster crowed. And in that very moment, he realized what he had just done. And that guilt and that shame just infiltrated his life. Many of us have been there, consumed with guilt and shame. And it said that he actually left the courtyard weeping bitterly. But as we saw last week, it didn't end there, right? Jesus was arrested, then crucified, and then died, and then he rose again, right? And then he has that interaction with Peter on the beach. And after breakfast, this is what he says. This is that interaction between Jesus and Peter. Again, in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17, it says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. He said, then feed my lambs. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Then a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Then Peter gets all in his feelings, right? He's upset because Jesus is asking him a third time, like, Jesus, you not believe me? I'm telling you, I love you. Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Then Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Three times, Jesus restored him. Three times he had denied him. Full restoration. This interaction in the following days, we see that Jesus restores Peter's hope through the resurrection. And then he restores and redeems his failures. And as we discussed last week, Jesus can do the exact same thing for each and every one of us. He'll restore our hope. He gives us reason to have hope because he's alive. And he restores and redeems our flaws, our failures, because every single one of us have them. Every single one of us have screwed up and will screw up again. And he's redeemed us. But there's more to this interaction. There's more than meets the eye. You see, Jesus didn't just redeem and restore Peter and then be like, all right, cool. Like, now I hope you're set free from that guilt and shame. I hope you feel better. Now, who wants some more fish and bread? Like a breakfast on the beach? No, it didn't just end there. There's more to it. When we look at this interaction and into this conversation, we see that Jesus not only restores Peter, but in the very same breath, in the same conversation, he presents Peter with his life's purpose. Jesus restored and redeemed him and then tells him exactly what to do next. He doesn't just leave him hanging. He doesn't say, you're restored, you're good, we're cool, see ya. No, he sets him on the trajectory of his life's mission. He unleashes him for his God-given purpose. And I don't know about you all, but in my life, that's honestly one of the things I've sought out the most. Like, God, what am I supposed to do with this life that you've given me? Like, you've put me here at this place, at this time in history. What am I supposed to do? What have you called me to do? And for me throughout my life at times, that has been so murky and been a thing actually that the enemy has used to shame me, to beat me down, to stress me out, to get me off mission because I'm so focused on the what ifs, or am I doing the right thing and this and that, as opposed to just listening to Jesus say, hey, you're good. I've restored you. Now go do this. Because in the same breath that he restores us, he tells us what to do. Just like he did with Peter. So with Peter, what was his purpose? What did he tell him to do? Again, we see very clearly in this conversation that after each time Jesus said, hey, Peter, do you love me? You know, while he's restoring him, he hits him with a then statement. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Jesus is like, okay, then do this. If you really love me, then blah, 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 right? Show me. Prove it. If you really are my disciple, then do this. And so the first then statement that we see that Jesus makes to Peter is, then feed my lambs, right? It says in John 21:15, he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. And then Jesus says, then feed my lambs. You're restored. And you're saying you love me. That's great. Then go feed my lambs. He wasn't restored and redeemed because of an action. He was restored and redeemed before that. And because of that, then go do this. It's from that restoration and that redemption that it sets us free and unleashes us to go do what we're called to do. We do it from that truth, from freedom. not from bondage, not because it's a duty, but because of freedom. Then feed my lambs. When I hear that, I think to feed my lambs, I think of a lamb, right? Kind of helpless, a baby. I think he's telling them, go care for those new believers. Those people that may not have believed or been wavering or on the fence, go care for my lambs. Go feed them. Give them the substance they need to sustain them. The truth. The word. Tell them about me. Feed them. On a personal note, this is something that has honestly been a huge part of my purpose in my life. Is taking care of God's lambs, right? His kids, his little children. Not only just my own personal children, but any kids that we see, that we interact with. I think we're called to do. Those are precious. Children are precious to Jesus, and that's our future generation. That's the hope of the church. That's the hope of the gospel continuing to spread to the ends of the earth. It's our kids. He says, feed my lambs. Peter, don't neglect that. Don't just focus on the other disciples or those religious leaders that maybe you can convert or the bigwigs. No, feed my lambs. That's part of your purpose, Peter. If you really love me, if you're really my disciple, then feed my lambs. The next then statement that we see from Jesus to Peter is then take care of my sheep. Take care of my sheep. John 21:16, Jesus repeated the question. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said. You know I love you. Okay, then take care of my sheep. If you were with us a few weeks ago, we were in a series called Living and Loving Like Jesus, and I talked about how each and every single one of us are to follow the lead of Jesus in loving and serving all people. And that's what he's telling Peter. Take care of my lambs, or my sheep. Take care of my sheep. You're going to feed my lambs, but you're going to take care of my sheep. To serve them, all people, to love them like Jesus loved them, to take care of the widows and the orphans, to stand up for those who've been blasted, right, and judged by their religious elite. We got a lot of that going on today. We're supposed to stand up for them because they're Jesus' sheep. He's the good shepherd. He's saying, hey, Peter, take care of my sheep. We're to stand up for those people. We're to stand up for the oppressed, for the forgotten, for the voiceless. That's what Jesus did. He's saying, Peter, take care of my sheep, to truly care for and love all people. In fact, John chapter 13, verse 35, in some of Jesus' final words to his disciples, he said something that has really rung true in my heart and in my life, something that I keep front and center. When I start thinking about the church, when I start thinking about, as a pastor, what I'm supposed to do, when I start thinking about how God wants you all, each and every single one of you that's here today, to serve and to share the truth. He said this to his disciples. He said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Yo, that's powerful. Not your words, necessarily. Not even what you preach. Though that's important. He said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Unfortunately, I don't see a lot of that today. Within the church, within the Christian community, and even the Christian community outside of the church. We love to point the finger. We love to show how everyone else is wrong. I have no idea why I ever get on social media. Because it just continues to show me that as believers, we have totally lost sight of this simple verse. We've lost sight of it. Something tragic can happen. Happened yesterday. I was scrolling through things. I knew it was a bad idea. Someone made a great comment. Another religious leader on someone else that was in the religious community. Polar opposites in their beliefs. And they put a beautiful post about somebody. Honoring them. And then I went into the thread. And then everyone's just blasting. Well, I disagree with blah, blah, blah. Who cares? No, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Peter, if you love me, if you are my disciple, take care of my sheep. Peter, take care of my sheep. The final then statement that we see that Jesus makes to Peter is then, feed my sheep. Not only do I want you to feed my lambs, to take care of my sheep, man, I also need you to feed them. John 21, 17. Third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt, got in his feelings. Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Then feed my sheep. If you really love me, feed them. Teach them the truth. Guide them. Encourage them. Teach them about me. All people, everyone. Give them what they need to be spiritually sustained. Because I don't know about you all, but there are times that I feel spiritually depleted. Mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually depleted. And yes, I'm your pastor. And I get spiritually depleted. Peter, feed my sheep. Disciple them. Teach them. Jesus restored and redeemed Peter's failure and all of his failures, and then directed him to his purpose. Told him what to do next. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. Basically, Jesus was laying this foundation. Peter, I'm going to unleash you to build my church. That's what he was doing. Peter's to build the church. These are the three things that he told him to do. Simple. Take care of my lambs, or feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed them. And for the rest of his life, Peter was 100% on mission, sold out to this purpose. He was committed to living from Jesus' restoration and redemption and living out his purpose. In fact, after Jesus ascended back into heaven, he took over kind of as the lead guy with the other 10 disciples. In Acts chapter 2, he preaches on the day of Pentecost. He feeds the lambs, feeds the sheep, and about 3,000 people were baptized. 3,000. In Acts 3, Peter heals a man who had never walked in his entire life, and then he heals him and he starts to take his first steps. He's meeting needs. He's taking care of the sheep. He travels all over the place to teach the good news about Jesus. In Acts 10, he claims that God shows no favoritism, right? And then he begins to take the gospel to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews, which was unheard of, which was a no-no. And he said, no, God shows no favoritism. This is for all people, for everyone. He changed the game. Followed exactly what God had laid out to take care of the sheep and to feed them. And because he was so committed to this, to this calling, to this purpose in his life, he was eventually arrested and then crucified. He was committed to Jesus. When he was restored and Jesus said, do you love me? He truly meant it. Yes, Lord, you know I do. Because of that, Jesus said, okay, here's what I want you to do next. He didn't restore him, redeem him, to leave him hanging. He did so to set him on the trajectory of his future, to build the church. And he does the same thing for us, for each and every single one of us here today. God doesn't restore us and then just leave us. He restored you for a unique and specific purpose that you are to live out. When he says, hey, do you love me? And you say, yes, Lord. He said, then go do this. And he's put the this in your heart. You know what it is. You do. Sometimes we like to complicate it because sometimes we don't want to do that thing. Or sometimes we know what it is and we're just scared to take that leap of faith. But he redeemed you for a purpose. Just like Peter. He did the same thing for you. In fact, I want you to capture this thought and write this out somewhere. That and any time that you feel insignificant or that you've done something that there's no way that God could redeem because it's so bad. Or even if you've accepted that redemption, you know you're set free, but you just still feel unworthy or incapable. I want you to remember this. Know that Jesus redeems us to unleash us. He redeems you to unleash you. A lot of times we feel held back. Like we feel put in a box and we feel like we can't do this or we can't do that and you know we gotta do it. No, he redeemed you to unleash you for your purpose. The purpose that he gave you, that unique thing that you are called to do, that only you can do, to reach those people that only you can reach, to do the things that only you can do, to unleash you, to fulfill your God-given purpose, whatever that may be. Whether that's you're an accountant or a driver or a facilities manager, a nurse, an engineer, a teacher, whatever it may be, office manager, IT director, whatever it is that you do, or you're a father, a student, a mother, know that in all things, we have a purpose. In all of these things, we need to be feeding the lambs, taking care of his sheep, and feeding the sheep. That's not just set aside for pastors or full-time church people. That's for every single one of us here today. No matter what your career is, God has placed certain people in your life. He's put you in certain positions to feed the lambs, take care of the sheep, and to feed them. So this morning, final questions I have for you. First of all is, do you know him? When Jesus shows up, do you know him? Do you have that relationship with him? And if so, do you truly love him? Do you love him more than these? Do you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind? And if your answer to him is, yes, Lord, you know I do, then feed his lambs. If so, then take care of his sheep, all of them. And if so, then feed his sheep. Be set free. If you've received that gift of salvation that only comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, understand that you have been redeemed and unleashed. Unleashed to fulfill his purpose for your life. No matter how big or maybe even insignificant you may think it is, it's critical to building the kingdom. Because that's your unique gift and your unique calling and your purpose. So remember that Jesus redeems us to unleash us. So if you've been redeemed this morning, then go live your purpose. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning just, again, so incredibly thankful. Thankful that you sent your son to take our place. God, we know that we have flaws. We're not perfect. Messed up in the past, we're going to mess up again. But Lord, we thank you for that despite all that we've done, you still love us. You still want to be in communication and connection with us. And and you come into our presence, God, which is so incredible. And Lord, we're just so thankful for that. Thank you for redeeming us. And thank you for setting us free and unleashing us to do your work, to be about your business. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here. You've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never received that gift, that beautiful, incredible gift of salvation. Again, that only comes through Jesus. Maybe for whatever reason, you've been kind of keeping God at arm's reach. Kind of one foot in, one foot out, just kind of checking things out. Maybe today's that day. Understanding that he died and rose again for you. That he gave his life so that you could be made whole. So that you could be redeemed. And if that's you this morning and you're ready to step over that line of faith, man, just call out to him however he leads. It's about you and him connecting. It's about you letting go of everything and saying, God, I give it to you. I want you to lead. I want you to direct my life. It's about confessing and believing. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, that you'll be saved. So if you're ready to step over that line of faith, you just spend some time with him. And you just confess and believe. Just talk with him. He's there. He's listening. And despite what you've done or how far you think you've gone, know that it's never too far for our good God. He's right there ready to receive you, to embrace you, say, welcome home. But maybe you're here this morning and you've been redeemed. You've stepped over that line of faith. You've received that gift, beautiful gift of salvation. But you're not living an unleashed life. You're not living out your purpose, the purpose that God gave you. For whatever reason, you're sidelined, stuck, stagnant, or maybe just going through the motions. Understand that you've been redeemed and unleashed for a purpose. So today, maybe you need to commit to begin to feed the lambs, take care of the sheep, feed the sheep. It's simple, really. We can do it every second of every day. We have so many opportunities that present themselves to us all the time. To love others. To show them the love of God. To live out a life like Jesus. I promise you, if we can all truly embrace the passage in John 13, the world will know that we're his disciples by how we love. because they're not used to seeing it. True love.